text after me. All have it, say amen. Amen. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever that will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let's read it again. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, using that text this morning, let me first of all thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. And from this text this morning, I want to begin a two-part series entitled, I want you to repeat this title after me, Choose Your Friends Carefully. Say it again, Choose Your Friends Carefully. Now, this is a two-part message. And really, I have two main ideas in this series. Number one, I want to talk about important reasons why we should choose our friends carefully. I'm going to talk about that today and give you some important reasons why we should choose our friends carefully. Then the second part of this message will deal with the importance of friendship with God. And that will be on next week if the Lord allows us to see it. We'll talk about the importance of friendship with God. Life is about decisions. Life is about decision making. Decisions shape us. Decisions make us. And decisions can break us. Now, we can choose the life that we want to live. We can choose the lifestyle. We are free to choose the life we want to live. But we are not free to choose the consequences that come from the life that we choose to live. A man may choose to put fire in his bosom, but he cannot choose not to be burned. A man may jump in the water, but he cannot choose not to get wet. Amen? So we can make choices, but we do not determine the consequences that come from those choices. So we should be very thoughtful and considerate about the decisions that we make. Amen. And of course, we need counsel to make sound and solid decisions. We need the counsel of the one who's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man seeks unto counsel. The Word of God says in Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, when it comes down to God's counsel, God's leading, God's guidance, God's directing, God is not going to put a bridle or a bit in our mouths to lead us. God is not going to lead us like a man would lead a horse. But God will instruct our minds and stir our hearts, and he will lead us to make sound and right decisions. You see, all of us have to choose who will be on our front row. All of us will have to choose who will be in our inner circle. All of us have to choose who we allow to get close to us. All of us will have to choose who we will allow to influence us. All of us will have to choose who we will decide to listen to. So we need to be very careful in choosing people for our front row. Everybody can't sit on your front row. Everybody can't be in your inner circle. That's why there's a process called vetting. And vetting means to examine something very carefully, to examine something or someone as to the suitability for a particular task or position. You hear sometimes when people are up for a certain position, they have to go through a vetting process. And we need the guidance of God as we choose who's going to be close to us. Who's going to be on your front row? Praise God. Because perhaps there are some folks on your front row ought to be on the back row. I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? You've got to choose who is going to be close to you. Amen. And so we need the guidance and the direction of God. Now I want to give you today several reasons why we must choose our friends carefully. How many of y'all got a best friend, a BFF? You ever had a BFF turn out to be a BFFD? A best friend dud? You thought they were going to be there? They were singing Michael Jackson's song, "I'll Be There. Whenever you need me, I'll be there." But when you really needed them, they were not there. Is that all right? But let me first of all give you a definition of what a friend is. It's always good to define our terms. The wise man said, "Of all you're getting, get understanding." And as I move down the road of life, understand how important that is. And all of your endeavors, get understanding as you choose the people who are going to be close to you. Get understanding as you choose the people who are going to be on your front row. Get understanding. Well, the word friend comes from a Greek word, philos, which means one who loves. So a friend is one who loves. Now, there are three critical elements in real friendship. The first element is association. But of course, association, just mere association, is the lowest form of friendship. There are a lot of people you associate with and are friendly with. Yes, sir. Amen. Jesus called Judas a friend when Judas came to betray him with a kiss. But he wasn't a now there's a lower level of friendship and there is a higher level of friendship. Now, the other two elements in friendship are loyalty, amen, and number three, affection. So if you really have a friend in the highest sense of the word, You have all three elements. You have association, you have loyalty, and you have affection. But let me give you one more definition. Friend also comes from a phrase entitled man of my peace, which literally means one who looks out for my highest good. I want to ask you a question. How many folks do you have in this world, do you know in this world, who will look out for your highest good? You see, that's why you got to choose your friends carefully. Brother Ronald Taylor read so beautifully in Psalms 55, 12 to 17. He was talking about how much it hurts when someone you counted as a friend turns out to be an enemy. He said, I could have taken it if it had been an enemy. But it was my comrade. It was my companion. It was one I counted as a friend. And oh, it hurt so bad that the one I thought would stand by me did not stand by me. And then there are the common elements of friendship. The prophet asked the question, how can two walk together except they agree? Now listen, friends don't always agree. You don't need somebody that you count a friend always agree with you. Are y'all listening to this? You need somebody who will love you enough to tell you the truth. But friends have to have more in common. Sometimes friends have knockdown dragouts. Amen. But they have more in common. That is the bond that ties them together. Now I want to give you, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these things down. I want to give you several reasons why we should choose our friends carefully. Amen. The first reason is because we need friends in this world. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, God looked around his creation. God had flung the stars way out yonder like they were exquisite chandeliers. God had made the flowing streams and the rolling hills. God had made beautiful blades of grass and beautiful scintillating flowers. God had filled the air with birds as they winged their way through the air, Brother Wyatt. They were singing about his glory. And then God made man. And one of the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, and we never, in fact, the doctrine of redemption is based on the doctrine of creation. And the Bible lets us know that this world got here by the infinite intelligence and wisdom of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God decided, he made a decision to make man in his image and after his likeness. And then God said something about the nature of man. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. So the first reason why we must choose our friends is because you need some friends in this world. You can't make it by yourself. Everybody needs somebody. Man was made for a community, not isolation. That's why when men are in prison and they go into solitary confinement, they soon degenerate into mental health issues. There was a lady one time, she lived by herself, and she said, "I just wanted to hear another human voice." Because we are made for contact with other people. We are made for social engagement. We are made for social involvement. We are made for social interaction. We're made for relationships. The better my relationships are, the happier my life is. If I can't get along with nobody, always in it with somebody, then I'm miserable. Can't get along with nobody. Don't nobody like you. Is that all right? The first reason why we should choose our friends, because you got to have somebody to help you to make it through the challenges and the issues and the confrontations of life. Is that all right? So it's very important. And then here's the second reason why we should choose our friends carefully, is because association brings on assimilation.
Associate, you see,
who you hang with, you hang with folks who cuss, and look why you be cussing. Hello? Because association brings on assimilation. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupts good morals." If you lay down with dogs, don't be surprised if you get up with fleas. Because association. You hang out with negative folks, you're going to find yourself negative. You hang out with folks always talking about somebody, you're going to find yourself talking about folks. Preach, Moss. Association brings on assimilation. You hang out with thugs, you'll be a thug. Is that all right? Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Here's a third reason why we should choose our friends carefully. Because friends can entice us to do wrong. Samuel Wyatt, would you please come forward, my dear brother? I want everybody to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And the Bible warns us about, you see, folks who close to you can get you to do stuff. Are y'all hearing this? Folks you count as a friend can influence you. In fact, people you count as a friend can affect your relationship with God. Let's see if we can establish that from Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's start with verse 1. Now, the key verse I want you to really focus on is verse number 6. That's the key verse in this text. But verse 1 says what, Brother Wyatt?
If there arise among you,
a prophet,
or a dreamer of
dreams,
and give thee a sign,
give you a sign or a wonder,
and the sign or wonder come,
sign or wonder come to pass.
Well, if he spake of it to thee,
read,
saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known,
Let's leave God. Let's leave God. Let's go after another god. Let's put the Bible down and get us another book. Come on.
Thou shalt not hearken.
You shall not hearken. Don't listen to him. Come on.
Or that dream of dreams.
For
the Lord your God.
For the Lord your God.
Proveth you.
He's testing you.
To know whether
you love the Lord.
You love the Lord.
Your God.
With all your heart.
You see, God. You see. Let me tell you something. In life, you're gonna have some tests gonna come to you to test to see whether you really love God with all your heart. Oh yeah, things gonna happen. Challenges gonna come to see whether you really love Him. A false doctrine arises. You follow that doctrine, but if you love God, you'll never follow a false doctrine. Not knowingly, you won't. Read on.
You should walk after
The
Lord your God and fear Him.
Fear Him.
And keep His commandments.
Keep His commandments.
And obey His voice.
And obey His voice.
And ye shall serve Him.
And you shall serve Him.
And cleave unto
and
Him.
And cleave unto Him.
And that prophet.
And that prophet.
Or that dream of
dreams. Or that dream of dreams.
Shall be put to death.
Shall be put to death. Because he's trying to turn you away from God. Choose your friends carefully. Read on.
Turn you away from your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeem you out of the house of bondage.
Come on.
To thrust thee out of the way of which the Lord your God commanded thee to walk.
Now what does verse 6 say? Watch this.
If thy brother.
If your brother.
The son of thy mother.
The son of your mother.
Or thy son.
Or your son. Your son.
Or your daughter.
Your brother. Or your son. Come on.
Thy daughter.
Your daughter.
Or your wife of thy bosom.
Or your wife. Good gracious of life. Read.
Or thy friend.
Now watch this. Thy friend. That's where I'm trying to get to, Brother Ryan. Your friend. Come on.
Which is as thy own soul.
Which is as your own soul. What that literally means is your closest friend. Your closest friend. Now everybody here got a close friend, right? When they say something, we tend to listen. Your closest friend. Come on.
Entice these secrets.
Entice you. You see, he said, come here, girl, let me holler at you.
Put a bug in your ear.
Look, come over here. I don't want Claudia to hear this. Come over here. Put a bug in your ear. Yeah. Come on.
Let us go.
Let us go.
And serve other
and
gods.
And serve another. This is your BFF. This is your best friend. That's why you got to choose carefully who's going to be close to you and entice you. Because you got to admit, a friend word has weight with you. Isn't that true? And say what, Brother Wyatt?
Let us go and serve other gods.
Let us go and serve other gods.
Which thou hast not known.
Which thou hast not known.
Thou nor thy fathers.
Thou or thy fathers.
Namely, the gods of the people which are round about you.
In other words, let's go serve false gods. Come on.
From one end of the earth to another.
Read.
Verse 8. Thou shalt not consent unto him.
You shall. If your best friend, somebody who's like your own soul, tell you things to turn you away from God, you need to demote him or her.
Amen.
Praise God. And put him on the back row and get him, please, get him off the front row. He no longer needs to be in the inner circle of your life. Read, Wyatt.
Nor hearken unto him.
Nor hearken unto him.
Neither shall thou pity him.
Neither shall you pity him.
Neither shall thou spare
him. Neither shall you spare him.
Nor shall thou conceal him.
Nor will you conceal him.
But thou shalt
surely kill him. Lord have mercy. This thing is serious. Now this is, of course, this is Old Testament. You don't kill him. Now that's Old Testament. Now let me straighten it out. No, don't kill him. No, we ain't telling. No, I ain't saying that. Gotta get that straight, Eddie. But Ma said, kill him. No. No, don't you. Goodness, don't you kill him. And then put it on me. Praise God. Why? That's Old Testament.
That's Old Testament.
We handle things differently. Now, let me give you a fourth reason. A fourth reason is because you do not need to make friends with an angry person. Turn your Bible now to Proverbs 22. Look at verse 24. You do not need to make friends with an angry person. The Bible warns us about anger. Anger is one letter short of danger. Is that right? Anger is a negative and destructive emotion. The wise man Solomon talked about anger in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. He said, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Amen. And then in the New Testament, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Look, you may have a legitimate reason to be angry, but don't stay there. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Is that what he said? And then in the book of James, James chapter 1, about verse 19 and 20, it says, my brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For it said that the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Is that right? So the Bible warns us now in Proverbs 22 and verse 24. There is a warning given about. You see, if you hanging out with angry folks. Mad at the government. Mad at women. Hello? Read what it says, 22, 24, and 25. What'd that say?
Make no friendship.
Make no friendships.
With an angry man.
With an angry man. Y'all know any angry folks? You friends with them? You better get this stepping, like Brother Harrison. You better get this stepping. Is that all right? Make no friendships.
With an angry man.
Here's the reason why. Read it.
And with a furious man.
And with a furious man.
Thou shalt not go.
You got to stay away from folks like that.
Lest. Thou learn his ways.
You learn his ways. You learn how to be angry. Amen. A lot of the workplace violence we have in this country. Because somebody's angry. Lest you learn his ways and what? 25.
And get a snare
and
to thy soul.
That word snare means trap.
To thy soul.
The Bible says be angry, but don't stay angry. Amen? Let me give you a fifth reason why you should choose your friend carefully. And that is because faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. The word enemy literally means one who hates. You better understand something. Everybody don't love you. You think everybody who smile at you like you and love you? They're smiling in your face. I know y'all know it. Literally, it means one who hates. And some people can, with the kisses. The kisses are deceitful. Because you think the kisses portray love and affection. Well, think about some. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. So one time Mark Twain was was kissing a woman backstage. Why? I'd say his wife come in and said, "Mark, what are you doing kissing that woman?" He said, "Yvonne, I'm not kissing her. I'm whispering in her mouth." Now that was deceitful, wasn't it? Is that all right? The Bible says deceitful. And sometime a friend, a real friend, has to rebuke you, criticize you. And when they're rebuking you and criticizing you, it doesn't seem like they're really a friend. But get this, they are coming from a place of love and concern about you. So what it's saying is that the wounds that a real friend inflicts are for my betterment, not my detriment. And I can trust the rebukes and the corrections. And it's better to have the wounds of a friend than the deceitful kisses of an enemy. Is that right? That's Proverbs 27:6. You got that, why? Let's have that read for our dear brothers and sisters. 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 27:6. What does that say? Read it for me.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy
are deceitful. So choose your friends carefully. Let me give you another. This would be number six. Is that right? Number six is, and it's found in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born out of adversity. Now, you ever heard the concept farewell to friends? You ever had any? You see, farewell to friends are with you when you up, but they leave you when you down. Farewell the friends are with you when you right, but leave you when you wrong. Farewell the friends are with you when you're loaded. Oh, y'all ain't hearing this. But they leave you when the word get around you broke. And sometimes people don't know who their real friends are. That was a prodigal son. You know, sometimes the folks at your house, your mom, your dad, you may think are your enemy, but they really are your friends. This young man decided, Sister Johnson, that I got some friends in the far country. So I want my father to give me my fortune, and I'm going to the far country. And he got out there and began to waste and spend his fortune in riotous living. And then something happened, Brother Sperling. All of his money was gone and he got desperate. Let me tell you something. Desperate people do desperate things. When you get desperate, they don't tell them what you will do. I know a man, he was somebody. He was a big timer, but he got so strung out and hung out. He found himself eating out of garbage cans. Let me tell you something, you get desperate enough, ain't no telling what you might do. Don't you ever say, "Well, I wouldn't do that." Well, you just ain't been desperate enough. When Brother White and I attended a seminar, and we went to this financial seminar, and these high-powered finance people were talking about finances. And one lady talked about there were some people, Brother Earl, who got credit cards and had about 100% interest. How much was it? About 100% interest? 50 to 100%. And people were using those cards, Maddie, and they maxed them out. And you know why they did it? Because they was in such financial difficulty. They didn't have any money. They had no income. The only thing they had was that loan-sharking credit card. that predatory lending credit card because they were so desperate. They put themselves in almost an unrecoverable financial situation. So what do you say? I'm saying this boy got so desperate, Brother Sperling, that he got all his money gone now, and he's out in the pig pen. And this boy is so desperate, he is about to eat slop. He was a Jewish prince who had diamond necklaces and gold necklaces round his neck. He was a well-to-do young man, and here he is, Wes. He has got so desperate. And here's the thing about it. All the folks who helped him to spend his money, the Bible says, and no man gave to him. You see, you'll find out who your real friends are. You get in trouble. Amen. You see, a real friend is with you in prosperity as well as adversity. I don't need folks in my life running from me like roaches running from Raid when you spread. Y'all do know about Raid when you spray Raid, don't you? What did I say? Read that. Why? 17:17 says what?
A friend loveth at all time.
Loveth at all time. And remember, a friend is when you made a mess of yourself. They'll tell you, well, boy, you ain't done. You did pretty bad, but boy, you're going to be all right. You ain't done a permanent job. You're going to be all right. That's a friend. Is that all right? You got to choose your friends carefully. That was number six, y'all. Here's number seven. And this is a big one here. I need Proverbs 16:28. Gossip can destroy friendships. Gossip. A lot of folks who were friends, friendship have been destroyed because of malicious gossip. Let's read it and let's comment on it. 16:28, Proverbs 16:28 says what?
A froward man,
that means an evil man.
Soweth strife. And a whisperer
is gossip.
Separates.
Chief friend. You see that? An evil man, the Bible says on the seven sins that God hates. And he talks about one who sows discord. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord. You know the old story that if a dog will bring a bone, he carry one? You heard that? Is that all right? And how many quality friendships have been destroyed because somebody started whispering? And what they do is, when they get to whispering, well, let me tell you what gossip is. Gossip is conversation about people's lives. It's conversation about people's lives. Whether it is a fact or a rumor, and it's usually malicious. And what the gossip does is cause you to doubt your friend. What the gossip does is cause you to she said that about me. And she ain't even said it. But it causes you to doubt. The devil uses gossip. Are y'all hearing this? Let me give you number eight. We're gonna conclude. Number eight. Choose your friends carefully, because to have friends, you must be a friend. To have friends, 18:24, Wyatt. Proverbs 18:24. To have friends, you must be a friend. Now, I'm going to have Brother Wyatt read that. I want to get, there are two possible renderings of this text. I want to give you both, because, but both of these renderings are true. But let's have Brother Wyatt to read Proverbs 18:24 first, then we're going to give an exegesis of this text, and this lesson will be yours. What does it say, Brother Wyatt?
A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend. That sticketh closer than a brother.
Ain't y'all glad about that? There's a friend that does what? Now, let me give you the two possible renderings of this text. Number one, the NIV renders this, a man of many companions comes to trouble. Literally means you're torn into pieces. So what that means is this, is that if you have a lot of friends in your life and you have chosen them indiscriminately, you got folks in your life, you ain't vetted them. You telling them stuff about you, you shouldn't be telling them. Hello? You trusting them with stuff you shouldn't be trusting them with. Are y'all hearing this? Amen. A man of many companions comes to trouble. Because you got folks in your life. You say, I just want to be open. I just want to disclose. Well, man, what is it? Man, last night, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they said, well, I can't wait to get out of here where I can go and tell it. Is that all right? Amen. But then there is, in other words, what he's saying is this. It is better to have one reliable friend than to have a whole company of untested friends. Now, here's the other possible translation of it. And I think both are true. And that is, if you are going to have friends, you got to be a friend. Amen? Now, if you're going to have friends, three things you got to do for people. Three things you got to do for them. Well, really, four things. Let me give you that and we'll conclude. Four things you got to, number one, you got to associate with them. Number two, you got to be loyal to them. Amen. And number three, you got to have affection for them. That's what a friend is. Somebody who associates with you, who's loyal to you, and who has affection for you. And then number four is somebody who looks out for your highest good. The folks who say, I got you. The folks who say, I got your back. And they mean it. And there is a friend, the Bible says, that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. Did y'all hear me? His name is the dome of all vocal grandeur. His name is the sweetest name I know. Oh, it's something about the name of Jesus. Sister Angela, I heard somebody say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that all right? Well, Brother Moss, what is the truth? Well, the truth is, Dr. West, some folk will be with you when you're up, but they won't be you when you're down. Some people will be with you when you're right, but they won't be with you when you're wrong. Oh, some people will be with you when they hear you got some money, but they won't be with you when they hear you broke. Is that all right? But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Is that all right? There is a friend who loveth at all time. Well, how do I know, Moss? I know because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Is that all right? Well, how do I know? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Is that all right? How do I know? He was bruised for my transgression. He was wounded for my iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace is upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, you ought to choose your friends carefully. Anybody hearing this? You ought to choose your friends carefully. Is that all right? And somebody this morning ought to say, I choose Jesus. Is that all right? I choose Jesus. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, Sister Moss, I choose Jesus. Is that all right? Because in sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. Is that all right? Somebody ought to choose Jesus because he came down through 42 generations. Is that all right? Somebody ought to choose Jesus because he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Is that all right? Somebody ought to choose Jesus because he came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony. Is that all right? Somebody ought to choose Jesus because he came from heaven's coronation to earth's condemnation. Is that all right? Oh, somebody ought to choose Jesus. Is that all right? Because he came from heaven's honor to earth's horrors. Is that all right? Yes, somebody ought to choose Jesus. Is that all right? Because he came from heaven's exaltation to earth's humiliation. Is that all right? And that's why somebody ought to choose Jesus. Is that all right? Because his name, Jackie, is a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Is that all right? Oh, it's something about the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, blinded eyes could see. At the name of Jesus, crippled legs could walk. Is that all right? At the name of Jesus, twisted limbs were straightened at his touch. Is that all right? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels, somebody ought to choose Jesus. Anybody need a friend this morning? Well, somebody ought to choose Jesus. Amen. Do you choose him? Who your best friend? I ain't trying to get in your bed. I just want you to think about it. You got a best friend? You got somebody you can trust them? Well, you thank God for that. You got somebody who spend time with you. You got somebody who loyal to you. You got somebody who's got affection for you. You got somebody who looks out for your best end. Well, the best one I know for that is Jesus. Well, Brother Moss, how can I? Because you know what? Guess what? God wants to be your friend. You know, sometime on LinkedIn, you get a request. I'd like to connect with you. Y'all familiar with that? Like us on Facebook. Pat, you familiar with that? Is that all right? Well, I tell you this. You might be on Facebook, but are you in the Lamb's book? Y'all hearing that? You on Facebook, but are you in the Lamb's book? Praise God. Is that, well, how can I become a friend of Jesus? Here's how you become a friend of Jesus. Because he said, you are my friends if you do what I tell you. And I'm going to talk about next week why you can't be a friend with the world and a friend with God. You can't do it. Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Y'all didn't get that. Amen. Is that all right? Well, how can I become a friend of God? By hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How can I become a friend of God? By believing the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can I become a friend of God? By repenting of your sins. Romans 10:17. Rather, Acts 10:17. At the time of this ignorant God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. How can I become a friend of it? By confessing the name of Jesus. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And finally, how can I become a friend of Jesus? You got to be baptized. You got to go down in that water and meet the blood of Jesus. And when you meet the blood of Jesus, a miracle takes place. And you come up out of that water, nothing down, on your way shouting, because your sin have been washed away. What can wash away my sins? What is it? Nothing but the blood of my friend Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the, oh precious is thy flow. That what does what? Makes me. Ain't that a friend? Somebody would die for me. Ooh, good gracious of life. Ain't that? How many of you folks you got in your life would die for you? You got one person, that's Jesus. And he already, would you stand on your feet? That's the message. That's the message. Choose your friends carefully. Does that make sense, church? Should we choose our friends carefully? We really should, shouldn't we? Is that right? Because you can't make it in this world by yourself. If you're a child of God this morning and you need prayer, you need somebody to pray for you. You had a rough week. You had a difficult time. You need somebody to pray for you. We'll be your friends this morning and we'll pray on your behalf. And not only will we pray today, we'll keep praying for you, because we got a prayer list. And if you want to put your name on that prayer list, somebody will be praying for your special need every Sunday that we meet. Ain't that good news? We'll pray for you on Wednesday night when we meet. We'll pray for you on Thursday morning when we meet. And we will pray for you privately in our own private prayer. That's just how much prayer you can have going for. Don't you want friends praying for you? Is that all right? I need some folks who love me to pray for me. But don't just pray for people you love. Pray for your enemies as well. Where would you be without your haters? You ever thank God for your haters?
Y'all ain't saying that.
You need your haters. Where would you be without your haters? The haters make you stronger, wiser, better. Is that all right? So we thank God for the haters. We'd rather not have them. I ain't trying to make no haters, but since I got them, I go and praise his name. If you're here this morning and you need to respond, thank you, Brother Bobby. Brother Rogers, thank you. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou call? Oh, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, say, oh, 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 say, why don't you hear my cry? why on earth dost thou art called? Oh, do not pass